Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. I'm going to read from verse 18 through verse 33 this morning, even though we won't be covering all of that in the message. We will be covering it over the next several weeks. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have made us as believers in Christ. All that we are, all that we have in him, and you have placed us in Christ. You have placed us in him together as the body of Christ, the church. And Lord, we have seen already from these verses that the mystery of the church is great. Christ and the church. And we thank you for that mystery. Now, Lord, as we seek to examine how this applies to our relationships, May we know today the teaching ministry of your Holy Spirit to each one of us, that the words that you have on these pages for us will be the words that spring to life within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have seen in Paul's discussion of marriage in this passage that this is the mystery of Christ and his church, that marriage is designed to give a picture of Christ and his church. And we have seen in this passage that the relationships that we have must be enjoyed under the control of the Holy Spirit. So let's recall verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 5, the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is essential to your personal spiritual life and worship. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 18. And the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit, we have seen in verses 19 and 20, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. When you are filled with the Spirit, there is a song within you that needs to be expressed. There are words that you share with one another, and they are the words of Scripture. There is gratitude, thankfulness, Ephesians 5:20, that is there. Those are results of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, the contrast was, do not be drunk with wine. Do not be under the control or under the influence of wine, but be under the control, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because the results are the same, and you can see this in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Those results are the same. That tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, the phrase, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That is an equivalent statement to be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit and letting the word of Christ, the Logos, the truth of the Bible, letting that live, richly dwell within you, those are the same because the results are the same. This is yielding to the Word of God, submitting to the Holy Spirit's control. That is essential for your personal spiritual life and worship. If you are not yet saved, if you're not yet born again, you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know why? You don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, the moment you get saved, you receive Jesus as your Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. And then you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. But if you're not saved, you cannot be filled, controlled, under the influence of, yielded to the Holy Spirit. You have no relationship with the Holy Spirit at all. So you need to be saved. But if you're saved, being filled with the Holy Spirit is essential to your life and worship. Now, as we continue on this morning, we want to observe that the filling of the Holy Spirit is also essential to your relationships, to Christ-like relationships. Verses 19 through 21, we can see that relationships with one another in the church are to be Spirit-filled relationships. And verse 32 told us that the mystery is Christ and His church. Relationships in the church. You need the filling of the Holy Spirit to engage one another in relationships in a Christ-like way. This morning, we'll look verses 22 through 24, also verse 33. Wives need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Wives need the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Now, say, "Oh, I'm not a wife, so I don't need to listen this morning." It's okay. Next week we'll be looking at husbands also need the filling of the Holy Spirit, verses 25 through 33. So the husbands just said, "Great, I'll mentally check out this morning and then next week I won't come." Right? No, this is all for everybody. It really is. Even though we're showing particular things for wives today, this is all for everyone. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, parents and children need the filling of the Holy Spirit. And chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, labor relations. Do you know, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to go to work. Yeah, your labor relations need the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is essential to all relationships if they are going to be Christ-like relationships. So just read the whole passage in its context and don't separate these things about wives and husbands and parents and children and bosses and all of that. Don't separate it from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because being filled with the Holy Spirit is what gives direction to all of those relationships. So, this morning, the Spirit-filled submission of the wife. Verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, say, submit. I don't like that word. Submit. Well, what does it mean? Maybe before you say you don't like it, you need to know what it means and maybe a little bit of what it doesn't mean as well. What does it mean? The meaning of submission. Now, technically, in verse 22, you don't actually see that word. It comes from verse 21. Remember, verse 21 said, be subject to one another, the whole church. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And then it goes on, wives, to your own husbands as to the Lord. And so, wives, be subject is supplied from verse 21. The word that appears in verse 21, it's hupotasso. Tasso means to put or set or assign. And hupo means under. And that in verse 21, this verb appears in the middle voice, means that this is something that you do to or for yourself. So, be subject, submit, hupotasso, is to put yourself under, to set yourself under, to assign yourself under. In other words, it is to relinquish your own rights. Be subject to one another. Relinquish your own rights. Wives, relinquish your own rights to your own husbands. Verse 22. Now, hupotasso is not the same word that appears in chapter 6, verse 1, when it says, "Children, obey your parents." Obey in 6:1 is hupakuo, not hupotasso. Hupakuo is to listen under or obey. Neither is it the same word that appears in chapter 6, verse 5, when it says, "Slaves, be obedient." The word obedient is hupakuo, not hupotasso, to your masters. So, submission, relinquishing your rights, is not the same thing as obedience. It's not. It's a different word. It doesn't mean the same thing. That is to say, a husband should not relate to his wife as if she was a child who was to obey him as a parent, or as if she was a servant who is to obey him as a master. It's a different word. You know, if everybody just understood that much, it would send away all of the misapprehension. Well, you know, the Bible says submit. The Bible just tells me that I have to lay down like a doormat and let him walk all over me. That's not what it says. Well, but it says submit. Oh, yeah, okay. But relinquishing your rights and being an obedient, blindly obedient doormat are not the same thing at all. They are not. So, what does it mean? It means to relinquish your rights, to set yourself under the authority of another. Submission restores the helpmate or counterpart role of creation. Creation. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Eve was made to be a helper suitable for Adam. Quite literally, Eve was made to be the counterpart for Adam. the one who went along with him to help and complete him. Remember, Adam and Eve, Genesis 1:26 and 27, you can just jot that down, we're not going to look at it. Adam and Eve were both equally created in the image of God. God made them in his image, male and female, he made them in his image. Not one higher and one lower. They were counterparts in the image of God. Now, how long did that last? It lasted until they sinned. Right? Genesis chapter 3. When they sinned, Adam and Eve did not lose the image of God, but the image of God within them was marred and distorted by their sin. And in relationship to one another, something happened because of sin. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. And understand, this is part of the curse that is being pronounced on the woman because of sin. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband. Now I won't labor this point this morning, but the word desire also appears in Genesis chapter 4 verse 6, where it says, sin is crouching at the door. And its desire, it has the desire to rule over you. Speaking about Cain. The word desire is the desire to rule. Because of sin, the wife desires to rule over her husband. Now, is that right? No, it's sin. It's part of the curse. So, ladies, sin makes it so that it is not just natural for you to submit to your husband. It's not. You want to be in charge and you want to rule him. But he will rule over you. And so because of sin, this isn't the way God created Adam and Eve to be counterparts. But after sin, what's happening? It's not counterparts, it's competition. That's the result of sin. Why is submission so important? Because submission restores a relationship to what it was in creation before sin entered. Ladies, if you will submit in a godly way, it doesn't lower you. It doesn't lower you. And it doesn't place you above. It restores you as your husband's helpmeet, as his counterpart. That's what submission does. So, submission is a restoring thing. It's a very healthy thing. And it is something that we all, verse 21, in the body of Christ, are to be doing with each other. Notice the singularity of this submission in verse 22. Be subject to your own husbands. Not somebody else's. Be the counterpart to your own husband. Not anyone else's. Not any other man. Your own. That's the restoration. Now there are significant cross-references, and we'll just go as quickly as we can through this. Colossians chapter 3, immediately after the verses about letting the word of Christ richly dwell in you. Colossians 3:18, wives, be subject, same word, to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. This is appropriate. This is what makes the relationship beautiful. It's fitting in the Lord. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Older women, by the way, this is the curriculum for women's ministries. It is. Older women, that word older is 60 and above, teaching younger women, and part of that curriculum in Titus 2:5 is to be subject to their own husbands. So this message that I'm doing this morning should be continued in discussions, discipling discussions between older women and younger women in the Lord. Look, a godly woman knows more about wives submitting to husbands than I do. Right? Sure. And so the younger women should learn this from them. 1 Peter chapter 3. Sarah with Abraham was an example. 1 Peter chapter 3. Wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. So this is throughout the New Testament. And back to Ephesians 5, verse 33, respect is included in submission. The wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Now, by now, there are wives saying, oh, you're sure right, because I would have to have the filling of the Holy Spirit to submit like this to my husband. Yeah, and you would. You do. It doesn't just come naturally. It requires supernatural help, supernatural power from God the Holy Spirit for you to submit to your husband. You don't do it by just working at it. It's a spiritual, supernatural thing. Now, the manner of submission, the end of verse 22, as to the Lord. As to the Lord. Submit to your husband as you submit to the Lord. This is for God's glory. Say, well, I'm submitting to my husband because I want to have a good marriage. Okay, great. But this isn't about having a good marriage. This is about glorifying God. This is about having a godly marriage that pleases Him, not just a good marriage. Can an unsaved woman be submissive in this sense? Can an unsaved woman be submissive to her husband? The answer is no. Can an unsaved woman even understand what we're talking about? The answer is no. She doesn't. She needs to be saved. She needs to have the Holy Spirit so that then she has the desire to please God, to glorify God. And then she will be able to submit to her husband. Can a woman, even a saved woman, do this without the filling of the Holy Spirit? And the answer is no. Say, well, I can have a good marriage without the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but you can't have a godly marriage without the Holy Spirit. You know, you're just defining good any way you want to define it. But you can't have a Christ-like, godly marriage without the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that goes for husbands as well as wives. The motive of submission, verse 23. For, that's an important word. Wives should submit. Why? Here's the motive. For, or because, the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. Now, somebody wants to say to me, see, he's the head. That means she has to do what he says. No. The head is for a different purpose. Head doesn't just mean in charge. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Christ is the head of every man. You realize, men, you have a head too. It's Christ. And the man is the head of the woman, like Christ is the head of the man. And God the Father is the head of Christ. Think, Christ has a head. His Father. Now, what does the head do? The head is there for a covering. We don't have time to do it this morning, but just read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and you'll see that's the issue. The head is for a covering. It is for protection. It is for the provision of the rest of the body. Christ, as the head of the church, is the Savior of the body. He is the covering for the church. He is our protector, our provider, our Savior. If you have Jesus as your Savior, that's what you have. You have His covering, His protection. The motive for submission is that you will have ladies, in your husband a covering, a protection, a provision. And if you do not put or set yourself under him, relinquish your rights to him, you will not have the protection and the provision that that covering provides for you. You'll miss it because you're trying to take care of things. You're trying to be in charge. You'll miss it. So the motive is to be under the headship of your husband. That's a good thing. That's your covering. That's your protection. Submission is the way to get what you need. It really is. Maybe not what you want, but you're relinquishing what you want in order to be given what you need. That's the motive for submission. Verse 24, finally, the model of submission. As the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. As the church is subject to Christ, wow. If the church is in submission to Christ, it is healthy. Say, well, what if the church isn't in submission to Christ? Okay, then somebody has a problem, a big problem. Because a healthy, Christ-like, submissive church is the God-given environment for healthy wives and healthy marriages. Ladies, if you are not in a healthy church that is submissive to Christ, then you will not have a healthy Christ-like marriage. You won't. The church is the environment for healthy wives and healthy marriages. So it's important that the church, all of us as believers, are submissive to Christ, because the health of marriages depends on all of us. Yeah. That's big. And in that environment, the wife is to be submissive to her husband in everything, verse 24 says. In all of life, she is his counterpart. It's shared in everything. Say, well, I'll submit to him in this and this, but there's this corner of my life that I'm not going to submit to my husband. Okay, then you didn't get the point. So, well, there's part of it. I'm not going to relinquish all my rights. I'm going to keep some of them for myself. I have my own little secret hiding place for them. He can't have them all. Okay? Then you don't know a spirit-filled submissiveness. You're missing on it. She is to be to her husband in everything. If you are not saved, you cannot have healthy, spirit-filled relationships. Now, you say, well, I'm not saved, but I still have good friends. Well, good the way you describe good, but not biblical like this. If you're not saved, you don't have that. Jesus died that you might have, yes, that I might have my sins forgiven and go to heaven. Yeah? Jesus died that you might have healthy, Christ-like relationships. You take Him to be your Savior. He not only saves you from your sins, He saves you from yourself. And He saves you for the kind of relationships that you really desire because you were created for them. And as a saved person, a believer, Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit, as you yield to Him, He fills you, and He fills these relationships with the things that are right and healthy, Christ-like. Say, well, I need help with my relationships. I need help with my marriage. Say, well, what I really need is counseling. Okay, but if you get counseling and you don't have the filling of the Holy Spirit, you haven't helped yourself. Good advice isn't the same thing as the power of God. Counseling doesn't fix relational problems. It doesn't. Can't. Those problems come from sin that's in you. The gospel fixes problems. The Holy Spirit fixes problems. Yeah. Yield to Him in everything, as the end of verse 24 says. Lord, have Your way in all of my life. Have Your way in my friendships. Have Your way in my relationships. Have Your way in my marriage. And then see what the Lord will do. Then see what the Lord will do. Heavenly Father, how essential it is, how we really do need the ministry of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray even now, if there is even just one person here this morning or watching in by live streaming wherever you are, or maybe even watching or listening to this later on. Just one person who does not yet have Jesus as their Savior. Holy Spirit, in this moment, open that heart. Put faith there as a gift that this person will believe and trust Jesus to be their Savior. And Lord, when they do, in that moment, they will be saved. The Holy Spirit will be theirs, will be dwelling within them, and they will have this newfound power. And Lord, I pray today for believers as well. Believers who maybe kick against this idea of relinquishing rights and submission. But Lord, we all must do it because it's for your glory. It's about what pleases you, not what pleases us. So Lord, be at work in those as we sing, "Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way." Maybe God's way for you today is your salvation.